The great Victorian thinker Thomas Carlyle, much admired by Charles Dickens, wrote that money was, quote, the universal soul nexus of man to man, end quote. Became a key insight for the vertiginously changing social and economic landscape of Victorian England. Born in 1812, Charles Dickens was fascinated by what connected people, and he dramatizes the material relationship described by Carlyle through the food his characters give, share, steal, or long for. Every beefsteak pudding, morsel of pickled salmon, or sip of currant wine tells us something about the giver, the receiver, and the relationship between them in terms of their moral, economic, or social life. The Cratchit family will have goose for Christmas dinner, no matter how benighted their finances, until the reformed Scrooge makes them the gift of the then much rarer luxury, a turkey. Pip, by stealing food for the convict Magwitch in Great Expectations, unwittingly forges a lifelong economic relationship. That is from the opening of Dinner with Dickens, recipes inspired by the life and work of Charles Dickens by Penn Vogler. You know, food is so key to our experiences of life that our memories are often prompted to speak once food enters the conversation. I learned that not that long ago when taking part in a West Lafayette History and Archives program where the subject was local eateries back in the 50s and 60s. Once certain places were mentioned, the room erupted in conversation and laughter and good cheer and a few bad memories, but mainly excitement about talking about food and how food was so important to kids growing up, to teenagers, and to adults then, and I dare say now as well. And so we can use food as a lens to seek out history, society, social change, literature, not unlike using the study of history or science as our lens. Our author hints at this in his opening chapter when he talks about Charles Dickens' lifelong interest with food and dining and how this life offers insights into Dickens' own writing. As an introduction to the literary works of Charles Dickens, which are legion, Dinner with Dickens is a unique type of entree. It is, of course, quite apt that quotations from the works of Dickens are utilized to introduce the breakfasts, the brunches, the lunches, the dinners, the special feasts that take us through the day as we revel in the recipes and their accompanying full-color photos. For make no mistake, this is a cookbook as well as a reminiscence of Dickens' characters and novels. More than a literary adapted cookbook, though, Dinner with Dickens also pulls back the curtain on the old canard of how boring is English cooking, showing us with page after page, yes, after page, that so much of Victorian cookery, the period of the height of Dickens' popularity, is anything but the boring boiled beef and cabbage that we seem to still think of when we refer to English cooking. Consider, for instance, recipes for French plums, for Christmas pudding, for veal rolls, cauliflower with parmesan, Ruth Pinch's beefsteak pudding, and yes, even a Yorkshire Christmas pie. Jumping deeper into the interface between food and Dickens' stories and characters, author Penn Vogler does a marvelous job relating to us the integral role of food and storyline. We get to know the many characters of Dickens' stories just a little better by knowing the historical social meaning and the background of the foods which Dickens' characters eat and offer to each other as tokens of love, tokens of respect. As Vogler tells us when writing about Little Dorrit, Little Dorrit opens with a surprisingly luscious feast of sausage of Lyon, veal and savory jelly, white bread, stracchino cheese, and good wine, in a miserable jail in Marseille. And the two themes of nourishment and imprisonment, both physical and psychological, are interwoven throughout the story. The scenes in the debtor's prison are drawn straight from Dickens' childhood experience, when his father was imprisoned for debt and he, age 12, was sent to work in a blacking factory. Dickens eventually moved nearer to the prison in order to take meals with his family, as relatives were often allowed into and out of the prison during the day. The pages of Little Dorrit reflect those early experiences of good food in bad circumstances and family meals that aren't the happy occasions they should be. We go on to read passages and to read about the food in A Christmas Carol, Nicholas Nickleby, Martin Chuzzlewit, David Copperfield, The Pickwick Papers, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, The Old Curiosity Shop, Great Expectations, and more. They're all featured, and surprisingly, their characters and storylines are woven into the recipes themselves, giving us yet another fun lens through which to read Dickens' stories. Take, for instance, this introduction to the recipe for David Copperfield's soft, seedy biscuits. Zvogler writes, "The young David Copperfield offers soft, seedy biscuits to Miss Shepherd, a little girl with a round face and curly flaxen hair, as a love token. When the Pickwick Papers, Bob Sawyer, with all the eagerness of a child's love, presses upon Arabella Allen two small caraway seed biscuits. The seed, much loved by the Victorians as a flavoring, had an ancient reputation as an aphrodisiac." And of course, there is Christmas, one of Charles Dickens' favorite holidays, and certainly one of the times when feasting was something to be had by all. For Dickens was, for his time, as many reviewers of his novels have noted, as in more scholarly works than this, a social campaigner whose interest in improving the lives of the poor was both of his day and a bit advanced from it. Ultimately, as our author notes, Dickens' life and characters show us that, quote, "being able to enjoy and share food and drink was a human right for everybody, rich and poor alike." Dickens had no time for the temperance movements whose aim was to deprive the poor of much-needed enjoyment. And, as Vogler writes as well, mealtimes were important. As he shows time and again in his novels, the enjoyment of good food is a social good in itself and a right, even of the poor and outcast in our society. Interestingly, and I found intriguingly, Vogler shines a spotlight on Charles Dickens' wife, Catherine, as she shows up again and again as critically important to her more famous husband's domestic food life, and by extension, into the storylines of Dickens' novels and characters. Again, let me allow Vogler to fill us in just a bit more. As he writes, "Catherine Dickens, despite the stresses of pregnancy and motherhood, she gave birth to 10 children, threw herself into catering for her husband's demanding social palate. In 1851, she published a little book, What Shall We Have for Dinner?, with pages of menus, bills of fare for different sizes of dinner party and different seasons, and a short appendix of recipes. We can surmise from this which dishes were popular with Dickens and his family. The recurrence of mutton, oysters, shrimp, raspberries, salad, macaroni, and cockaleeky soup on the menus all hint at Charles' love of the sea, Catherine's Scottish origins, and their European travels." Indeed, there are many, many aspects of Victorian life that are a delight to read, as they are touched upon in this book. Granted, there's no deep dive into anything other than the recipes themselves, which dive quite deeply. The Goose Clubs, which were annual savings account used by the poor to purchase the penultimate Christmas Day centerpiece, and which may have morphed into the mid-20th century's Christmas clubs at banks, and plant the seed for layaway programs at department and thrift stores, come upon us in these pages. We learn that by Dickens' day, sandwiches were all the rage. And of course, this being the Victorian age, even sandwiches had to be made so that they distinguished between the upper, middle, and lower classes. And it's worth noting that even as Victorian England came to rule the seas of the world, Vogler points to cookery influences from outside of England and outside of Scotland that seep in here and there in Dickens' novels. After all, as his fame grew, Charles Dickens and his wife Catherine traveled and dined well in America, in seaside Italy, in France. So whether you're a Charles Dickens fan, and I know we have many in our community, or you're just looking for a different kind of cookbook to explore, Dinner with Dickens ought to fit the bill. Crack it open and fall into its pages soon. I think you'll be delighted. I'm going to end with our author, Penn Vogler himself, giving us just a little more reason to pick up this somewhat nondescript-looking cookbook. Once you open it up, though, you'll find that it is a delight to read and to look through, as he writes to us. Quote, I hope that Dinner with Dickens shows that Dickens wrote about the food and cooking of his time not just for dramatic and social effect, but also because it was a comforting, nutritious, delicious, and often great fun. Victorian food has a reputation for being either stodgy or unnecessarily fussy, but I hope this book shows that much of it was delicious and attractive. They can teach us much about avoiding waste and being economical, such as using molasses to give brown soda bread a depth of taste and great keeping properties. The Victorians in this book show us surprising combinations of ingredients, such as using oysters or other seafood to bring out the depth of flavor in lamb or mutton, or adding ground cloves and lemon to make the best gingerbread ever. Victorian food can look spectacular and also taste fresh and delicate. Our Charlotte Russe demands a whole afternoon of preparation, but it is great fun to make. And with fresh berries, cream, and homemade sponge fingers, it is beautifully light. And we can turn to Victorians to discover tricks for using old-fashioned ingredients, such as bone marrow, that turns a bread and butter pudding into something rich and rather heavenly. I have included a recipe for gruel, he goes on to tell us, but no one will blame you for bypassing it and trying instead almond cake, cod and oyster sauce, or a savory pork pie. I hope you will enjoy cooking the dishes as much as I have. I think you indeed will be back for more if you open these pages and read through Dinner with Dickens recipes inspired by the life and work of none other than Charles Dickens by Penn Vogler. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.